Nothing tastes as good as a cup of Bahamian tea.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian art and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guest.
Welcome to another podcast of Tea and Talk. My name is Robert Bain, and this podcast is emanating from Nassau, Bahamas, one of the islands of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We boast of 700 of them, you know, and 30 of them, they are inhabited, and they are inhabited by beautiful people. The islands is just as beautiful as the persons that live on them, but we are a beautiful country, and we invite you to come down. Tea and Talk is being heard in a couple of places around the world, and I want to thank you for listening. I also like to remind persons why we do Tea and Talk. It's we want to create a platform for the artists, for anybody in the arts. We want to create that platform so we can express the thing that impedes our progress, or we want to talk about things that are good. We have here in the Bahamas, we have lots and lots of stories. We have lots and lots of things to talk about. And my thing is, as always, at the end of this podcast, hopefully everybody listening will be a little bit smarter. So today we're going to do something really, really special, as all podcasts, they are special. First of all, I'd like to thank Jason Ferguson for the music in the opening. And the music you hear underneath us is music done by Fred Ferguson, one of our iconic Bahamian musicians. I'm gonna just dive into something that at the end of the podcast, I will become much smarter. I want to talk about something that affects a lot of persons. It's not only a Bahamian thing, it's a world thing. And the thing that we're talking about is cancer. I want to talk about that for a second. And if you don't know what cancer is, really, it refers to any one of a large number of diseases characterized by development of abnormal cells that divide uncontrollably and have the ability to infiltrate and destroy normal body tissue. Now, people are having all kinds it comes in many different forms. I think a lot of persons are really affected by it in some way. I know in my family, I've been affected by it, by my sister. I have a sister who is a survivor. And it's pretty, I think about 20-something years. But today, I have somebody on this podcast who takes this to another level, who have established a program known as the REM. Can you please say that for me correctly? Because I don't want to mispronounce it. Because that I've been looking at some of your videos, and it's supposed to be, that is supposed to get out there, and that's supposed to roll off the tongue. But I don't want to say it incorrectly, so I kind of smart, yeah. But I like to, today we're in the studio, I have this lady by the name of Jillian Gia Curry Williams, right? And she is a fashion designer with an air for elegance and sophistication. Glamour. Now, she's going to tell you a lot about herself. She's going to tell you about her project, what she is all about. And also in the studio today is my dear friend, Joanne Callender, who have visited Tea and Talk before. And I'm now going to introduce you all. Welcome to Tea and Talk, Joanne and Miss Jillian. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Okay, you can get up on the mic there.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, I want to share with the public who Jillian is, what she does. Because I've seen, I took the liberty of looking at some of the videos, and I noticed that some persons on the videos that I recognized, I was really impressed by what I saw. Seemed like a lot of love and attention is going into what you are doing. And I realized that you are touching lives of survivors in very, very special ways. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about it. And I think the public have... they should know about this. They should know about your efforts, know about what it is that you are doing. Basically. So introduce yourself for me. Tell us a bit more about yourself, and then we'll go to Joanne, and she'll do the same thing. She'll reintroduce herself to my audience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jillian Curry-Williams, and I'm the designer for Remolda Rose Designs. I have been designing all my life. This is my passion. This is what I've always wanted to do. I am a business and life coach. I'm an author. I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother. And I am carrying out my mandate that God has given me to assist persons with cancer. Doesn't matter which cancer it is that they have, that I am supposed to assist them, and I'm carrying out that mandate.
Joanne?
Hi, Joanne Callender here. I am a breast cancer survivor, thank God, and so is my daughter Jody. And when I first met Jillian and I saw what she was doing, I was impressed, even then, by the designs, because I too like fashion, being a performer and a singer all my life. I always look for the best fashions, and some of the designs that she put these ladies in, they were mind-blowing, and Jody's dress was just so fabulous. And what I found so interesting was that it wasn't just getting fabric and choosing the styles for the women, were the ones that you thought would be the best for their body type and all of that. It was the fact that it made everybody forget about what they were going through and to actually become a part of a sisterhood that we still are. They still are when they see each other, like Jody, when she sees some of the other ladies that were honored with her year. You know, it's always a big greeting, and it's always like, my sister, we're connected type thing. And I found that to be beautiful. And with Jillian, it goes beyond just doing a design. She is actually involving the heart and the soul of the person, because we do meetings, and everybody gets to talk and share what they're going through. It's almost like somebody's helping you to carry the load at that particular point, and then it makes it better for you. And then to think about, I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to be like a model on stage doing something, and I have maybe no breast or whatever it is. And it lifts your spirit to another level. It helps you to accept what you're gone through or what you're going through, with the fact that there's a rainbow, there's a sunny day at the end of all of this, and you look beautiful while you're going through. So, you know, my hat's off to Jillian. I think she's doing a magnificent job. And I'll tell you about some of the other things as we get along in this show.
Tell me about the Remolda Rose. How did it all begin? What made you want to name your design, Remolda Rose, and also the organization itself, what you do? What made you want to do that?
Well, when I first started my company, I was Simple Elegance, and I went back to school. I think it was probably 14 years ago. I went to Canada, and in my marketing class, the teacher was like, your designs are more than Simple Elegance. You need another name.
Yes.
And I was like, what is this woman talking about? Like, so I labored with that for a long time, and I would ride back and forth on the train and be like, I'm going to class again and I don't have a name. And all these children, I used to call them children because I was the oldest.
Yes.
They have their names already. They have logos done and I don't have anything. And one day on the train, one morning, I heard the Holy Spirit say Romilda Rose. And I was like, gee, that's my Grammy, Romilda. And my mother's middle name is Rose.
Okay. Wow.
And I was so excited to get to my class. Like, I had a class prior to that class, and I was so excited to get to my class to let her know I have a name. And I was like, gosh, is she going to like it? And when I told her I have a name, and she said, what is it? And I said, Romilda Rose. And she said, keep saying it. Doesn't sound expensive. Keep saying it. And I kept saying it over. She said, doesn't roll off your tongue. And So that's how Romilda Rose came about. The Fabric of Hope, on the other hand, the Fabric of Hope came about because my father had cancer some 10 years ago. And when he got cancer and going with him to treatments, I held up my hand to God. I kind of put my fingers together and I was like, God, I'm only a fashion designer. What can I do for these people? And he gave me two things. He said to give them makeovers. And then he said to create a fabric that's made up of some of the colors associated with the various types of cancer and call it the Fabric of Hope.
Fabric of Hope, I love that.
That's what I'm wearing now, my pants. It's the Fabric of Hope. And so I carried out that mandate that God gave me.
Tell us about the event that happens, the nomination. I see that persons, they are nominated. Why are they nominated, and how does that work?
Well, we have a nomination process, and we have a nomination process because we need to make the field balanced. Okay. And not just be us picking. Mm-hmm. Although ultimately we pick, but a person is nominated. Once they're nominated, we always tell them in the nomination process, please tell us their story. Because some people would send in, oh, they're a woman of God, and yes, they've gone through cancer. That's not telling me their story.
Right.
We need to know their story. And once we get their story, we read it, we go over everything. If you leave it up to me, I'll probably pick 50 persons. They always get on me with that. But we when we had our very, very first show, we had five women. Three of them were from the Family Island, and two were local. Or four was from the Family Island, and one was local. Mm-hmm. And when we did that show, people did not have a clear, I don't know if they didn't have a clear understanding or, you know, the mentality of persons are always, if somebody's doing something, it's just to get money.
Right, yes.
And we had our show. I had it at Breezes, I'll never forget. And we had stage, set up, sound system, everything. Mm-hmm. I had only sold 10 tickets. But I knew that these women were like so dependent and looking forward to being dressed up. Because some of them had never even had an evening dress. They had never had earrings, chandelier earrings and all that. Because I get all of this stuff for them. I get their shoes. I get their makeup done. I do all of that for them. And so I could not have the show.
Right.
So with those 10 persons sitting in the audience, we had the show. And one of those ladies, she was in so much pain. I mean, she was putting her head against the door, but she said, Ms. Williams, I got to go out there. And I got to go out there and I got to show them. Mm-hmm. And she went out there. They went out there and they modeled as if the room was full of people. And 2 months later, she died.
Wow.
But I was so happy that I was able to, for her to have that moment. Because that moment was so important to her, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just so important. And I would do it again if I had to. But once I go through the nomination process, they're chosen. We have a meet and greet so I can meet everybody, see their personalities and all that, because all of that is important to me for making their garments, choosing the fabric, the color fabric that they wear. I make sure that they all get lace dresses. Everybody is in a lace long dress. Everybody. And yeah, I fit them, get them ready, and we have a show and have a ball.
Very nice. Very nice. The ranges of persons with what are the ranges of persons that have beat this thing, who are in remission, what are the ranges? Breast cancer, some other type of cancer, what are the ranges? I mean, there are different types of cancer, right?
There are different types of cancer, and the thing is, cancer has come a long way. It's come a long way and still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
But there are so many new drugs out there. I try to myself kind of steer people more in going natural, because the Bible tells us that the plants are for healing. And I try to steer, because we have a lot of plants that...
Soursop, for example.
Soursop can be like, be cancer. Like, it can help. Mm-hmm. So I try to steer people in that direction. But there's so many new drugs out there now that are working, and they're working. It's just that, to a lot of persons, you know, we get an ache and we call it gas. We get a pain and we call it just a headache. And then that headache goes on for days and days, but we say, oh, we just have a migraine, and it's, you know, mm-hmm. we don't want to check out things. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of persons, if we, you know, check out that pain, doctor may tell you, well, it is gas, but at least you know, like, you have his word that that's what it is, and not for it to be turning into something else that you're assuming that is what it's not.
Well, I, you know, what I've also noticed, Joanne, is that there are men who are having not only prostate cancer, for example, the actor, one actor, Richard Roundtree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who've had, do you call it breast cancer or chest cancer? I mean,
breast cancer
is the same thing. So I just want my brothers out there to know that they're not, they're not out, you know, it's all for, you know, we also have to also check too if we feel something unusual in that area.
What I found very interesting and very encouraging, most recently, I don't remember which year it was, for Jillian's show, that she is now including guys. And they are the most excited. Of course, they look fabulous, but they are so excited to walk on stage and show themselves off and, you know, to see men in this role and on stage and accepting it and being a part of the celebration as a brother in the whole event. It was a wonderful thing, because she's now also catering to both men and women. And I think that's a wonderful thing. She can tell you more about the guys who were a part of her show. And I knew two of them. And like I said, they were really thrilled. And I didn't think it would work for the men when I first heard that they had men that year. And when I saw them on stage, I said, oh my God, she's doing it not just for the sisters, but now the brothers are joining in as well. And maybe she'll have a brother and sister going down the same time and turning it into something that everybody accepts it and it makes everybody feel better.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about the show. It's not really about the design. They're fabulous and they look good, but it's about the heart and the excitement of you actually feel like you've overcome, like you're getting better just by being a part of something that other people understand what's happening with you and all of that. I know some of the meetings... We had our last meeting, I think, was just before Christmas. It was a great time together. And some of the women, you know, they were presently going through treatments. And just to hear them talk with each other and to go into the fact that we're celebrating, and somebody said that they needed something and that the person wasn't, you know, helpful enough. And she wanted names, addresses, numbers, and the whole thing. She helps these sisters like they are actually blood relatives of hers. Wow. My daughter wasn't feeling well the other day, and she gave me some of her own personal natural things. Tell Jody to take this because this is going to help with so-and-so. And she goes with those women. She stands beside them. She supports them. She does the fashion, but she is there to make calls and to make connections. And sometimes I understand she even goes to appointments to make sure everything is right. She can tell you more about it. But it's a wonderful thing to have a human being in the Bahamas who has a heart that's big enough that would stand beside you during the process to make sure that she knows what you're supposed to get, and she's going with you to make sure that you get the best. And it's wonderful.
I sensed. Go ahead.
Can I just say something? I forgot to say that I am also a breast cancer overcomer.
Okay.
I say God has a sense of humor because when I would talk to persons about the show, people would look at me like, you ain't never had cancer, so like, where you going? And 2022, March, I was preparing to go to the, they were having something for Kate and William. And I went to bed late that morning because I had made my dress to wear and I felt a pain. It felt like the lump that I was feeling was as big as the palm of my hand. And I was like, I am too tired for this. I go and sleep. And I went to sleep, woke up, and it was still there. Didn't tell my husband because my husband's mom passed away from breast cancer.
Okay.
I told my daughter, and she says, Mommy, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to call the doctor, and they could send a form over, and I could go to, you know, get a mammogram on Monday. You aren't going to do today? No, today's Friday. What's going to happen? Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, so I went out, and I had a good time. And then I had everything done and found out that it was cancer and took steps to do what I had to do. But unlike a lot of women, I think that God has made me the example for women to see that because I opted for the aesthetic flat closure, which means my chest is flat, no lumps, no bumps, nothing. And I'm fine with it. That we could have no breasts but still be feminine.
Yes.
We could have no breasts and still be beautiful.
Well, that you are.
And thank you. Yes, yeah. And persons don't even notice.
Right. I do sense a spirituality that's attached to this when you walk in here. God does have a sense of humor, I always say too. And I always go back to, I can't remember exactly the verse in Proverbs, where many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's God's purpose that will prevail.
Yes.
And so we could do as much as we think we should do for ourselves and trying to make money and trying to do something, but sometimes he just wheels you into your purpose. And I feel that this, I have one of the things that I do so well that I've been trained to do is to observe. And so when you walked in here, I observed it and I realized some things, some traits that you have. And I noticed it immediately that you were on the telephone and you got to talk to everybody and you're talking to, you know. So I understand that and I appreciate that very much because I too can be a bit like that as well. Not at the depth of you, you know, but I could see that you are a very involved individual and I'm quite sure the person that you touch appreciate it because I had an opportunity to look at some of your video late last night and I just keep watching, so that's why I was up, that's why I had to get coffee this morning because I was trying to
I'm sorry
that's okay I was trying to all right but I was really impressed and I was really impressed on there was the first one I watched you were actually making a dress with lace and something and you wanted to turn the shiny part on the opposite side for some particular reason. And then there's a picture of you with it on, look at, you know, and I'm going like, oh, interesting, you know, is that something you do for everybody? You create, each person that you actually outfit, is that unique to them, to their personality? To
each person I create for is unique to their personality. People may say, I saw something on your Facebook page and I want that same thing. But my first question is, like, do you have the personality to carry that? Because when you put on a garment, that garment is not supposed to carry you. You are supposed to carry that garment.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't understand that they put on clothes. And I could see it when they post those pictures on Facebook and see other pictures, like, that was not the one for you. You know, this, no, you look very uncomfortable in that. That's not for you. So I try to do my garments based on each person individually.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really impressed by this. I've known of another person who actually basically that had the same enthusiasm in the name of the late Andrea Sweeting.
Of course.
With Sister Sister. And yes. she this lady reminds me a lot of her in terms of her commitment to survivors, two persons who were here. And I'm just looking at her and I'm going like,
she looks a little like Courtney too, actually.
Yes. So
yeah, she does.
Miss Sweeting was our last show. She was the patron for our show.
Yes.
As Miss Callender now is the patron for our show this year.
Right.
But I take what we do very seriously. Yes. I don't take this for a joke. We had a young lady who was nominated to be in our show. We accepted her. But her cancer spread so quick. She didn't have time to be a part of the show. And I remember the night of our show, I spoke to one of her managers where she worked, was one of our models. And because we also have a fashion show besides the honorees. I call them my honorees,
yes.
The persons that we honor. And I showed her what the person was going through. And she was like, we didn't know. We didn't know. And so they had a meeting the next day. They made the decision to try to get her off to the hospital because they had insurance.
Right.
When they reached out to the insurance here, the insurance said no because it was pre-existing. I took it upon myself to write the insurance, and I sent them every picture because I would tell her, when you go inside there, take a picture. She's like, I can't take it. I said, let somebody else take a picture. So I had all those pictures as this thing grew on her chest.
Yes.
And I sent it to the insurance company. And 2 days later, they said yes.
Super.
Yeah.
I went away with her. I closed my business to go with her because there was nobody else to go with her. And she needed to be away for a week. Came back. Things got progressively worse. But did not know at the time that she was writing in her will to leave me as the...
executor?
In charge of her son. I can't remember the word right now.
Guardian.
Guardian, yes, for her son, who was 13 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And passed away. We had a beautiful service for her. Uh-huh. And her son lived with me for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we got him that Christmas, his GPA was a 0.something. But he felt like he was nothing. He felt like nobody believed in him. And I told him, I said, I believe in you.
Yeah.
I said, but I could believe in you, but you have to believe in you as
absolutely.
Well.
Yes.
This has to go both ways. I would drop him to school. I'd pick him up. He'd be like, Miss Williams, I could walk. I said, no, you're not walking. I don't calculate. You're not walking. I'm picking you up. So I'd pick him up. We took him to his first trip away. He'd never been on a plane. We took him to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to pick up whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want him to feel like, I don't know. There was just a way I needed him to feel.
Yeah.
And came back, and the next semester, he graduated from that school as the most improved student with a 2.5.
Wow.
And we had all kind of noise outside that school. Like, we celebrated him.
Wow. That's
and he has excelled, because after I got sick, then we had to make some changes, but he has excelled and continues to excel ever since.
Wow.
It's like a mothering thing. It's almost like a mothering spirit she has. And it's just not for a few people. Like the heart, her heart keeps growing.
I see it.
It's amazing.
You know, talking about children and the young man, I also noticed that cancer It's not limited to adults, adult male and female. Mm-hmm. It's also children, because I noticed that there was a child.
Yeah, we had a child, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Tell us, is that a rare case or?
No, cancer is very, very prevalent in children. There are some children being born with it and all right
what?
Now.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been born with it. Wow. Yeah.
How old was that young, the little, I saw her, the little girl, and how's she doing?
She's doing fine. I saw her mom sent me a picture the other day. I think she's graduating this year. She's doing very well. Yeah, she's doing very well. Yeah.
It was sweet to see her on stage with the other adults. It was sad in one way, but it was so sweet because it was like the family was together and they were around her, supporting her. Yeah. That mother thing is spreading, you know, which is wonderful.
How important is support? I mean, we can't say it enough, but let's dig into it for a second. How important is support for somebody going through something?
Support is so important. And I realized that when I always knew support was important, and people could support in different ways. Like I wrote a book on the caregiver, right? And I had an aunt that had cancer, my father had cancer, and then I spoke about this young lady that had cancer. And the way I was the support and the caregiver for my aunt, I was not the same way for my father. And the way I was for my father, I was not the same way for the young lady. But support is important. And I realized after I got cancer and when I had my surgery and the handful of persons that I said it to at that point, because I waited until after I had my surgery, then I like told the world, I did not have the kind of support. And I'm like, God, I don't deal with people like this. Mm. Like, I deal with them different than this.
Right.
Even if I don't talk to you, I'm going to send you a message, just send you this message, send you this prayer, check on this, how you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance or you're busy, call me, or is it good? I could call you now or whatever. And I didn't get that kind of support. And it just kind of showed me that everybody doesn't have empathy. And I tell people now that have children, like, empathy is something that you learn.
Right.
Some people are born with it, maybe. I don't know. Because for me, both my parents, I always tell people, I joke, like, my mom ain't gonna give you her money. She can give you that quick. Mm-hmm. But the nurse in her will kick in quick if you need something.
Right.
If you call her, Miss Curry, I have a headache. Miss Curry, I get a cut and I need a bandage. She probably don't do it now because she's older. Mm-hmm. But that nurse in her will kick in and she will assist. Right. My father, my parents lived in the West. If daddy had to pick up somebody in the East to come to church, to Holy Trinity, he would come way East, pick up that person, bring them to Holy Trinity, take them back home, and then go West.
Are you born in this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Inherited it, yes.
So,
absolutely. What was the name of the book? You said your book, is it available?
Beyond Diagnosis, A Caregiver's Journey.
Where can you get a copy?
If you're in Nassau, I have copies, and it's on Amazon.
And we'll give you a number.
Yes, please.
Yes.
My number is... what my number is?
You don't call yourself, right?
No, she doesn't.
My number is 818-9764. 818-9764.
Is there an email address that person can...
My email address is Remilda Rose, RemildaRose, DESIGNS at yahoo.com. Remilda Rose Designs with an S at yahoo.com.
And she's also on Facebook. Yeah. And you can see some of the designs on Facebook. You can get in contact with her that way. And you can also see some of the clips from the shows on YouTube. And they are fabulous. And some of the interviews are still on YouTube. Yes. And the thing about it with Jillian, I noticed the artistic person in her, the person that helps her to create these different things, they come out of the different types of relationships that she has with each of the sisters and also with what she has been through. And sometimes, like some of us get to write about it in books, but she actually uses her gift and her it's amazing to see her choose fabric. She sees you, she does not really know you, say, to go back 20, 30 years perhaps. But because of her being with these ladies, she actually sees them and she goes and she picks fabric that is amazing. And then she makes amazing designs for everybody. I'm sure some of these women have never been in some of these designs. And when you see them on stage, you could see the love and the care that she has put into it. It appears to be every stitch. And it's like a perfect outfit. I know I've seen a few of them that I really wished I could wear, but they were perfectly done for that particular person. And it looked like, wow, this is one of the top designers in the world. And I think she should be. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I'm looking through this book here that you have.
Yes.
A Warriors, Conquerors, Survivors. Mm-hmm. This was something done in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some persons in this book that I recognize.
Oh.
And it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. Is this a program from the last show?
That's a photo book, so that would be all the photos that we took during the show.
Beautiful outfits. Oh my God, it's stunning.
And the colors.
And the colors. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the face of each person, and I could see the dress and the contour of the person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seems to just matches and fits right in there with them. And the you know, the brilliance of the costume, the design, sorry, you know, not costume, my apologies. The brilliance of your designs seem to resonate in your face, you know, so I see that. And this is really beautiful. But again, on what should people know about, again, about your company, about your pet, your baby, your show, your concert.
I want people to know that this for me is not about making money, because I've never made money in any of these shows. I've never made money. We try our best after our shows to make a donation to the Cancer Society. We've done that on 3 occasions. But this is not a money-making thing for me. This is about ensuring that persons feel good about themselves during the situation that they're going through. Also, for people to know that, because I've had people reach out to me, well, why isn't you doing something for people with, you know, other ailments? That is not the mandate that God has given me. Mm-hmm. My mandate is cancer, and that is what I'm dealing with and how he has me to use my talent. But I also, too, want them to know that we are preparing for another show, which is going to be held on June the 1st. It will be held at Balmoral Club at 6:30 on June the 1st. The tickets are $125. That includes the show with the women. We have dinner, we have a live band, and we're going to have a good time. So if you would like to join us, you can give me a call or send me a message on Facebook. We'd love to have you celebrate with us.
Well, I'm going to post this information on our Facebook page. We have a Tea and Talk Facebook page. And so we'll post it there just so that you can have it and you can to see if we can help from this angle, of course. But I'm still looking through this book, and I am just amazed of these design, and these women here are so beautiful, and the attire, everything just reflects them. Their physical structure and their face. I'm looking, and these are gorgeous design. The colors are amazing.
Yes. And the women, they look so happy, don't they?
They're very happy, yeah. Very happy. Oh, yeah. My God. Listen, I think persons should really support this event.
Absolutely.
I think it's very important. It's important for the cause. It's a cause that I would myself support. I think it's important. And like I said, you know, it's not like, you know, she's by herself, because I have my friend, Joanne, my family, my sister.
yes,
who have been affected by who are conquerors as well, who are survivors,
and Jody too,
and Jody, my first dance student.
That's right.
You know, so yeah. I think it's important that we support this, and we know that like I say, the Bahamas is not the only place that this happens. It happens around the world. This is something around the world. It's not unique to any one culture. I'm always in awe of persons who actually pick up the mantle to make this bring an awareness of what is happening, and who always they're there to support somebody going through something like this. Let me ask a question. Give me an idea of when you, what kind of feeling, how did you feel? I think I saw something, and I can't remember if it was you or somebody else, but I just wanted to ask myself, and Joanne probably can answer this as well. The first time when you was diagnosed, how did you feel? How did you feel that day, that moment? How did you feel? I mean, somebody say to you, you have cancer. You know from past, anytime somebody have cancer, you know what could possibly be the result and stuff like that. And how did you feel? What was your reaction?
Well, for me, when I got the call, because I got a call from my doctor, and he asked me if I was sitting, and automatically in my head, I'm like, because I could go from 0 to 1,000 in a nanosecond. So in my head, I was like, okay, this is what he's calling me for. Like, I don't watch this on TV so much. So he said, is there somebody there with you? I said, no, but you can talk. I'm in my studio. I'm good. And he said, and I was like, okay. My faith in God is so strong that even though I heard it, it didn't sway me. I didn't cry. I didn't anything. I sat there for a minute after he talked, because he said, okay, what are you going to do? We could do A, B, C. And I told him automatically what I wanted to do. And then we hung up, and I went to my husband, and I told him. And yeah, but I was like, okay, God, this is on you. Like, I always tell God, like, And I said that on my way to the doctors when I was going away. God, I'm your daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm your daughter. Mm-hmm. So.
You handle it.
You handle it. I'm not going to. When I left here to go, I'd spoken to a hospital away. And when I left here to go to the medical facility, they knew I was coming to get reconstruction. Because I was like, yeah, I could get reconstruction, you know. And the Holy Spirit checked me one day, like, who told you reconstruction? And so I kept saying, okay, God, you're not telling me nothing. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what's happening. And while on the plane, I'm still saying, God, you haven't told me anything. I don't know what's happening. And my very first doctor I saw, first of all, he gave me some papers. And the papers he gave me were thicker than these papers in this book that you have in your hand. Mm-hmm. And I kept flipping through them. And I'm wondering, why am I seeing myself? And he came in the room and he said, we Googled you and we saw the work that you do for persons with cancer. And he said, everybody that comes here is a VIP, but you are our double VIP.
Oh, wow.
Because of what you do.
Wow.
And then he said, Mrs. Williams, take my foolish advice and do not have reconstruction. And all I did was lift my hand and I said, God, I thank you.
Wow.
Because I was waiting on an answer. And he went on with, I don't even know what all he was saying. But I just knew at that moment, I was just thanking God that
yes.
He sent the answer that way, because yes. That's the answer I was waiting for. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. When the year that I found out that I had breast cancer, I was so busy earlier that year. My mom was not well, and I was planning, it was the 40th anniversary of independence, and I had planned this massive concert to have at the cathedral, which is where I decided to have it. And it came to me the year before that I had traveled to Europe and several places in the world to sing Bahamian music to celebrate our composers. And I said, but you know, I've never sung the songs, their songs that we have rearranged, Lee and myself, I've never performed them in their presence for them specifically to celebrate them. And I say, it's the 40th coming next year. I'm going to have a concert. I'll sing only Bahamian composed repertoire, and it will be arranged in a very specific way. I want to have the classical sound, and I want to have the percussion sound of the Bahamas and all of that. So I was busy doing that. I felt a lump. I could see it, but I thought it was something else that the doctor had mentioned before about a clog of something. And so I said, well, you know, I'll go to see him in a couple of months once I get everything solidified. And when I did go to him, I think I did before at the concert that I did have in June that year. And he said, oh my God, what is that? Because it was like standing up almost. And this is Loxley Monroe, one of the greatest in the world. And he said, okay, I'm going to run some tests. And we got to find out what that is and get that out of there. And I said, okay. And so he ran the test. And when he called me to the office to come so that he could talk to me, I took one of my oldest friends in all the world, Marge Knowles. And when he told me, I told her to wait out front for me. And if I needed her, I'd come and get her. And he says, it came back positive. It's breast cancer. And I said, give me 1 second. I need support. And I went in the waiting room and I looked at her and I just did my finger to come. She was right there beside me and she sat beside me. We both heard the results. And because she was beside me and because she was my friend for so very long, I felt like I wasn't carrying the weight alone. And I knew she was a prayer person as well. And that basically, I did my concert. I had several other singing engagements that so I had to put off. He told me I had a little extra time. And so I performed. I fulfilled my obligations because it was the year of Independence, 40th anniversary. And I was doing Sammy Swain, you know, my role in Sammy Swain again, plus some concerts up until Christmas. And he says, okay, what day do we do it in January? Can we do it on the 2nd? And I said, no, give me till the 11th. He did. And then once everything was confirmed with what it was and all of that, it came out in March 11th, March 1st. That same year.
I vaguely remember that kind of event, kind of thing happening. Mm-hmm. But you also, not taking away from this.
Of course not.
You did do a book as well.
Yes, I did a book. You know, when she was saying something about being beautiful, and that was one of the things that I kept hearing in the room when I went to chemo. They call it Chemo Bay at Princess Margaret. The women kept talking about they wanted to have, you know, more breasts put back and all of that because they don't feel beautiful. And their husbands and boyfriends say that's one of the beauties of a woman to have breasts and this, that, and the next. And I said, but we are beautiful with or without breast. It's who we are. And so I took mental images of everywhere I went, all of my treatments, and I said, I'm going to write a book. And I, like Jillian said, I asked the Lord, what should I name this book? Eventually, it just came as a flash, Breastless Beauty, because we are breastless, but we are beautiful.
That's right.
And my whole thing in that book is to motivate and inspire women to just be the warriors that we are. We grow up being warriors. We become mothers. We are warriors. As her sisters, when we get together, we become super powerful. In the meeting, you could tell. And there are some women who actually, I think once or twice, I heard somebody say they had just come in that day from the U.S. having treatment. But they were around all of us, and it was just like a gathering of warriors. And it strengthened them, which is why her work is so important, because it's a part of where my heart is as well, as, you know, motivating women and helping them to see the beauty in whether you have breasts or not. Because the pictures in those books, I have no breast. And Italia Williams, she painted over it, because like Jillian, there's beauty, like this fabric is beautiful.
It is.
And some of the colors in her fabric are some of the colors that Italia used on my upper body to paint the picture so women could see. And I told her, don't touch the lines. I want the lines to be seen.
Right.
And all the beauty amongst that. And she actually put a flower on my chest on left and right, because we are beautiful.
Well, yes, yes, you are. Yes, you both are. Let me, as we get close to the end of this podcast, what are some of the things that you would say to a female with regard to, I mean, from my perspective as a man, I know it took me a while to get the, what they call the rectal examination, because I, you know, guys don't really want to do that.
No, seriously.
I had to think about that. I remember when my doctor said to me, oh, you're at a certain age now. Have we done that? I said, no, sir. And I was there negotiating with him and saying, listen, we could do it next year, my next visit. And he just said, boy, get yourself on it.
And oh, my gosh.
Because of my age,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And it's like, you don't know how to feel, you know? And so I try to say that to my own brothers. And they're like, no, boy, I ain't for that. But I want to say that that is so important, because a lot of men pull away from that. And later on, they discover that they should have been doing it, mm-hmm. because what the doctor's finding now could have been discovered a long time ago and possibly treated, and you know. So I want to encourage the guys to go and get their whether, hey, listen, man, it's just life. You just got to do it,
yes,
right? And you just got to bite the bullet and just do what you got to do. But for females, what are some of the things which you that they need to look for and check for? I know that, you know, about feeling and rubbing around, and you know, what are some of those things? Educate me. I hear about it.
Well, I think the main thing for me was the main thing for me was I did do my mammograms, but I guess because I'm an artist and because I am a fashion person as well.
Yes.
Not to this extent, of course. I will never attain that. But I had a designer who knew my body well, and she designed specifically for, you know, my body and all its shapes and the forms. So I grew to know what my body was like and to know how it felt. And so when I felt that change, I said, okay, I wonder what this is. And of course, I ran to the doctor, and then that doctor referred me to Dr. Loxley Monroe to go and have another check. And it was because I watch my body and I'm very careful, because this, for a singer, this is our instrument. Our body is our instrument. We don't have anything external. We have the stuff that's internal. So I have to make sure that this is well. And therefore, I was always checking myself and being consistent with knowing my shape and how different things felt. So I think that was my key, knowing my body and, you know, feeling it. Yes.
Getting the mammogram.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mammograms and pap smears. Yeah, you need to get those things. And I was reading an article the other day, and they're saying that colon cancer is high in young persons now. They are trying to figure out why, but the numbers are higher for younger persons with colon cancer right now.
Do you think it's diet could be part of that? Well,
probably.
It's probably diet. You know, there's so much fast food mm-hmm. stuff out there, and there are parasites and so many things.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they actually don't balance it with water.
Water.
Yeah. A lot of people don't drink water. It's really fascinating
yeah.
if you talk to people. So that is probably the thing that could flush some of that stuff out, but it doesn't get the opportunity to do so
yeah.
if they don't drink it.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Sorry. I just need to say this. This is something that I wrote, because persons like to say that, you know, cancer is not a death sentence, but cancer is not a death sentence, as people often say, and cancer is not just a medical diagnosis. It is a transformative journey that challenges us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. While it is not a guaranteed death sentence, it's a profound reminder of resilience, support, and personal growth in the face of adversity. Let's recognize that persons battling cancer are not defined by their diagnosis. They are defined by their incredible capacity to embrace life, find strength in vulnerability and inspire others along the way.
That's amazing.
Yes, beautiful.
Well said. See, yes. I did say, once you listen to TM Talk, you become smarter. And today, today I am a little smarter, but I am still, I am, Jillian, I'm still in awe of the designs in this book. And I'm holding the book since I, right? And I'm looking through it. And every time I look through it, I see something different. And
yes.
There are these beautiful smiles and these beautiful outfits. Jillian, can you tell us how to reach you again, please? Give the audience your contact, and for those persons listening internationally, you know, give them the 242.
You can reach me at 242-818-9764 or 331-888-0635. You can also reach out to me on Facebook under my name, Jillian Curry Williams, or Remilda Rose Designs. Remilda Rose Designs is also on Instagram. You can send me an email at RemildaRoseDesigns@yahoo.com. Yeah.
And then if you want Joanne's calendars book,
you can contact me. I'm on Facebook, and I'm also joannecalendar@hotmail.com. And my contact, 242-426-3190. But Facebook is a good place. Just drop me a line and say I'd like to talk.
You're all better than me, because I got to remember my number, because I really don't call myself, you know?
I know.
Yeah, but I want to thank you ladies for coming on Tea and Talk, Jillian. I am really, really impressed by this. I could see God's hand all over you.
Yes.
And I want you to be encouraged. And anytime you want to come back and do a podcast, you know, you're free. You just call. I'm here.
Thank you.
And I just hope that this gets a lot. Well, I'm not hoping. It will get a lot of listen. People will listen to it, and hopefully you'll get a lot of response. But I noticed that our numbers are growing when I check our analytics, and that's a good thing. And we're actually being listened to in Russia, Japan, Denmark, a couple of places around the world.
That's awesome.
Even in Africa. So I again thank you persons for listening. And this is our second season.
One more thing. Can she give the date of the show again?
Yes, please. By all means. Yes.
Well, the date of the show is June the 1st. It's going to be held at Balmoral Club at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $125, which includes the show with the women, dinner, and we have a live band. So please reach out to us to support.
They give me the numbers again in reference to this, where they can get tickets.
And the number for tickets is 818-9764. 818-9764. And maybe you may want to attend but can't, but you want to pay for a ticket for somebody,
yes,
you can do that as well.
Yes.
So you can just reach us at 242-818-9764. Thank you.
And this is one amazing day. It's a beautiful day in the Bahamas. It's hot out there. Summer's not even around yet, and we're experiencing some beautiful weather.
Yes.
But like I say, this podcast is emanating from one of the islands of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We call ourselves Nassau. And it's 700 islands there. And there are 30 of them. And we live on an island where there are beautiful people, just as beautiful as the island. And we invite you to come down and spend some time with us. We have stories to tell. You can have a ball. So until the next time, Jillian, Joanne,
yes,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Tea and Talk. You're listening to the podcast Tea and Talk.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.